thought I'd go to go back a bit and review where we are. So maybe we'll do it in the text. Let me see. This is where we are. It says, by the way, we've been concentrating on the Umachidun, the monastic text, which is a commentary on Jetsun Kapa's greatest book on emptiness, which is called Gombarabsa. Okay. And we're supposed to be getting to Gombarabsa and keep up with the translation from that, but I don't know. I'm just enjoying where we are. So we were going to, here it says, we're going to explain the exact nature of great compassion that one develops with the method just described. What was the method just described? How did, what visualization did they say to use to develop compassion? The buckets and the well, remember everything banging around? Okay. And this idea of a cycle, self-perpetuating cycle. Okay. So we're going to talk about the definition of compassion, its divisions, and its separate explanations. Here's the definition. State of mind which focuses on all suffering living beings, hopes that they could be free of that suffering with the same intensity of love that a mother feels for her only child. And it arises spontaneously. They don't have to think about it. Okay. Then they quoted this Gomrim, which you guys studied in Bokjimba the first three classes, I think. Something like that. Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you know all that. Then there were two kinds of great compassion. And we had it in one of the ACI courses. I don't remember. But it was one wishes that beings could be freed from pain. And one which is that they could protect all living beings from pain. And the implication of the second one is what? I'll take responsibility. I'll do it myself. If it needs to be done, I'll do it. So the text said that Hinayana people, lower way people, could have the first great compassion, but not the second. Okay? What's a synonym for the second, really?
Hasananda.
It's really taking personal responsibility. Like, and you know, you need that if you're going to do Dharma. You got to be at a place where, you know, if nobody helps me, I'll still do it. If people criticize me, I'll still do it. If people put a website out and criticize me, I'll still do it. You know, I mean, no, you just have to be, Haksam Nandak is like, I'll just do it. I'll just take care of things, you know. If nobody else does what they said, or that often happens, right? If they said they'd take care of that and they didn't take care of it, or you know, whatever. I don't care. I'll take responsibility. And then the buck stops here. The buck stops here. And then happily, joyfully, I'll take care of it. I'll do it. You know, even if people don't help me and even if people criticize me, I'll still get it done. I'll still do what needs to be done. Okay? So that's Haksam Namba. He quotes Gyaltsab Jay to prove that Hinayana people could have the first kind of great compassion. And here's where they divide compassion into three different types. One focuses upon things, one focuses upon that which cannot be focused upon, and one focuses on the person alone. Okay? And those are very weird names, right? Compassion that focuses on things, compassion that focuses on things that you can't focus on, and compassion where you focus on the person alone. So what the heck do those mean, right? That's what we're going to get to. We're working on that. That's what we're really working on. And these are very famous, and your own compassion should go through this evolution. You know, your feeling of love for other people. It starts out, you just like people, because you like to like people or something like that, and you don't think much about it. And then that's sort of a beginning level. And then the second level is you like people or you feel compassion for people because you realize they are impermanent. Like grossly impermanent would be they have to die. Like we were in the... We do this exercise every year. We go see the family at Christmas time. No, and just to see how people live, you know, and it's always this depressing exercise. It's really depressing, and we love them all, and they love us, But just to go there and see, you know, who got sick, who died, you know, who's unhappy, who's divorced, you know, who's got cancer, who's got, you know, broke something, who's getting old and finding out finally, you know, and it's very depressing. So that kind of love focuses on somebody and says, oh, you're getting old, you know, and thinks about that quality that everyone you meet is getting old moment by moment. So instead of just vaguely loving people, you love them because you know they have to die. They have to lose everything they own, everyone they love. And so you focus on them and you think of those thoughts. And the highest kind of love is where you focus on their emptiness, right? And I don't know, I was playing on that with that during the break. Consciously trying to love people and at the same time focus on how they're coming from me, right? So if I meet a person who's getting old, or I meet a person who who's dying, or I meet a person who's angry, then it's all coming from me, right? So that's a much different kind of love. And the third kind of love is special because the third kind of love can change the world, right? The third kind of love understands that the condition of anger, or the condition of impermanence, or even the condition of death that I see in other people is ultimately coming from me. You know, every soldier who dies in Iran, it's my fault. You know, that kind of love or concern for those soldiers is something extraordinary. I could stop that war if I could stop yelling at Christie, you know? Something like that, you see? It's a higher kind of love, because and it's only the third kind of love that can help people. It can change those things, right? So it's an extraordinary evolution of love. He's describing an evolution of love through three stages. And it would be, you know, really nice to be able to teach people, especially the third kind of love, right? Okay. Then he got into this thing where, look, they're all love. They all love people. They just have different take on the object, right? One sees the object as a simple person. One sees the object as changing from moment to moment, getting older from moment to moment. One sees the object as my fault. But the feeling they have is all the same. What?
Love.
Yeah, which is, I wish I could take away their pain. Here, right? I wish I could take away their pain. So the feeling is the same, the object is different, right? Okay? The take on the object is different. Got it? You have to get all that, or else you can't really, you won't really be able to get it. This is a statement he made. Different types of compassion are exactly the same in how one focuses upon one's object, all living beings, and hope that they could be freed from pain. The feeling is the same of all three kinds of compassion. Then he says, it's true that these different types of compassion are established through the object towards which we focus, because the auto commentary says, the reason I repeated the word being, who's speaking? Auto commentary. Yeah, Chandrakirti. He's saying, Master Chandrakirti, he's saying, you know, I wrote this book called, Long Break? Yeah, Madhyamaka Avatara. I wrote this book called Entering the Middle Way. And in the beginning I have this verse and I repeated the word being, living being, twice. Because I wanted to distinguish between two kinds of compassion, right? I made a note to myself. We always leave the boring stuff and then we do the fun stuff. And then I always say we'll do the boring stuff later. So let's do the boring stuff. We have to go find the verse where he says being twice, right? Because it's kind of cheap not to go find it, you know? It's kind of, it's not very responsible for future generations, right? So let's look it up. We'll go to Gopher. And this is what this class is about. It's not really a class. I'm not trying to teach you the three kinds of compassion. It's not... No, and it's not a... It's not a Kaka Ga class. We finished that. It's not an alphabet class. It's really how to use tools like how to be a translator, and really sort of advanced translation. Nonetheless, I encourage people to sit in the class who never intend to learn a word of Tibetan, because it puts a seed in your mind. And we were translating an interesting thing. It's going to be in the class tomorrow. She doesn't like it when I say it's going to be in the class tomorrow. But anyway, there's this beautiful thing about, sneak people peeks at the mandala, even if they're lousy people, because it puts a seed in their mind for, it's called an unstoppable seed. And he's discussing secrecy, you know. He says, yeah, but you should sneak people a peek once in a while, because it puts some seed in their mind. So this is all putting seed in your mind, right? You'll be great at Tibetan now or later, it doesn't matter. But stay here, learn the stuff. And we're going into a degree of detail that is very rare. And it's just because we have 6 years to do it. And otherwise, I don't think I would do it. But we're just going very deep. And the idea is overkill. You know, you learn 3 kinds of compassion. You learn 16 different things about each one. You forget 15 things about them. Then when you teach it to somebody, you remember one thing. And you wouldn't remember it if you hadn't done 16 things. You see, I mean, that's the Geshe principle. That's why they make Geshe Su. They memorize all this stuff. They forget it within 2 years after they graduate. But a certain basic stuff stays. And that's all we're going for. Okay. So let's find... what's the word for being here in this paragraph? What word are we going to search for? Droa? Was it Droa? I think going one, right? The one who goes, okay? Which means a creature or a living being. Would we look in the Kongyo, Tengyo, or Sumbum for something by Master Chanakirti? Tengyo, yeah. The Indian commentary is translated into Tibetan, okay? So we'll go Tengyo. Do we want to search the whole Tengyo, or can we narrow it down?
Uma,
Madhyamika, okay? As opposed to, for example, Vinaya, or Abhidharma, or Prajnaparamita, or logic, okay? All right. And you read this, you watch right here. If you're trying to find a quotation, you watch. This is the 400 verses by Ayadeva. We don't need it right now. This is a commentary. D. Armis Japa commentary. This is who? Buddha Palita. Why didn't they spell his name right? You only have 8 characters in this old system. What's Chinju? Bodhicaravatara. Okay. These are all commentaries on Bodhicaravatara. We don't need them. That's not it. This is Gomrim, Bhavanakrama. 4 of them. This is Jukpa, okay? In the monastery they call it Jukpa. Just entering. Okay. What are you studying? Jukpa. Okay. Okay, here it is. Dambor, say, repeat, okay? Dambor
nga.
She. Dagla.
Shengirchen.
First people say, me, I. And they grasp to a self. Okay? And then Daki.
Di,
She,
Mula,
Chak,
Kepa.
Then they give birth to feelings, to desire for things, saying, Daki, this is mine. Okay. Sochin, say Sochin,
Chendar,
Rangwang,
Mepai.
Like a water wheel, or buckets in a well, Rangwa mepai. Hopelessly. Helplessly. Okay, without any desire of their own. Dola. Ninja. Gyurkang. Delandu. I bowed down to that thing which is compassion for all beings. Did we have a Droa yet? Yeah, there it is in the last line. Okay, Drola, to all living beings I bow down. What kind of living beings did he just, I'm sorry, what kind of compassion did he just bow down to? How does that compassion think about beings? So chun chenta rangwa mepa. They're being bashed around in buckets, like buckets in a well, and they're just spinning up and down. So which one of the, yeah, it's the second kind of compassion, which feels like, oh, you know, my relatives in LA are getting banged around by life, and they're stuck, and they're just going up and down in the cycle, and sooner or later the rope will break, you know, and the bucket will fall, and okay? So that's the first kind of compassion. Let's keep going. Say, Droa. Yowe. Chui. Nangi. Dawa. Tar. Living beings are like the moon, which is reflected in rippling water. Okay. One more line. Yodang, Rangxin, Niki, Tongbar, Tongwai. Okay. That which sees that they are empty of any nature of their own, and they are shifting. Okay. Yo. One more line. Galway. Sepo. Di. Semkang. Dwanam. This state of mind of the children of the victorious Buddhas, meaning bodhisattvas, who look at all beings. Number. Tora. Chachir. Ningje. Wangyur. Shing. This is the king of all kinds of compassion because it can free the world. That's which one? The third one. This is coming from, I'm sorry, I'm not sure which order he's going to play with, but we'll see. That could be a bit. But anyway, the one that doesn't see them as self-existent, the one that sees them as coming from me, that's the one that can save the world. Okay? Is there a Droa here? In this line? Yeah. Yeah, at the beginning, right here. Living beings are like a reflection of a moon in rippling water, okay? Like unstable and not real. You see? Because is that the real moon? Are the living beings that you love not real?
Yes.
Of course they're real. You can touch them, you can hug them, right? So they're real, right? So they're not like a moon in the water.
No.
Which is not the real moon. Right? Right?
They're like that.
Oh, they are like that. Why?
Because they're changing. They're not permanent.
Well, that's the rippling maybe, but I think the point here is the reflection in the water.
Because it's a reflection of our own minds.
Yeah. Yeah. They are reflection. And they're also unreal. They're not what they look like. Like, you wouldn't look at the moon in the water and think it was the real moon. But you know, if you were like a little drunk or something, you might, you know, think it was the real moon. But that would be an illusion, right? So it's an illusion like that. So the idea is that it looks like they're not coming from you. It looks like you couldn't. It looks like we can't stop the war in Iraq, right? It looks like we'd have to have another president first, or it's his fault, or it's not my fault. And that's wrong. That's an illusion. And the truth is that it's coming from me, from my personal violence to people around me on a small scale, you see. Or I wouldn't have to, that wouldn't exist, you see. So that's the kind of love that's Mi'kmaq Tsewa, all right? Mi'kmaq Tsewa Thirteen Chan Rinpoche, that's the whole idea, right? It doesn't focus on beings in the way that you're used to, okay? It focuses on them in this new way, okay? That's all. So, let's go back to the verse, and this is why we looked this up in the first place. The word being is repeated twice in order to distinguish two compassions from each other. Did he do that? Yeah, there's two drawers. The first one refers to the bucket getting banged around. The second one refers to the moon in the water. Okay, so how do you want to write the footnote? Well, scholars like it if you give them some page number and some kind of text number, even if it doesn't matter much. So, page 201b. Okay, so folio. I got this time Roman disease thing. How do you turn this off? Anyway. Okay. Oops.
Focus.
Oops. And you're saying, why is he taking up class time doing this? And what would my answer be? It's a rule of translation, right? You never leave stuff to go back to. You do it when you're there. And then the day you finish the last sentence, you can give it to Beds and they can publish it, you see? And otherwise you get this thing where every translator has a stack of old manuscripts lying around that are 80% finished, you know, and they never finish the note. The footnotes and stuff, right? Okay. So, and you know, if you die, at least it's in some kind of shape for people to use. Okay. Helpless buckets? We had this debate before. Okay, and I'm helpless buckets. When three people giggle, okay. What if I name these two? Impermanent? I don't know. Breaking? How do you want to say fragile? I don't know. They're busting up, but you don't want to say that.
I mean, you
see, I know. No, how do you want to say they're, how do you want to imply they're impermanent? And then let the reader figure it out.
Batter.
I like batter.
It's a tongue twister.
Now we have to find the quotation. If we're going to be scholarly, right, we have to find the quotation. By the way, there's two kinds of books. One is scholarly, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, it's overkill, and every single quotation is located, and nobody can argue with anything. And then there's books that you write for to help real people. Like the Yoga Sutra translation. We stripped out, somebody said you couldn't have used 100 commentaries. It's true, we used about 400 commentaries. And I didn't want to say that because I thought nobody would believe it, you know. But we used 300 or 400 commentaries. But you don't put that in the book. You don't burden, you know, some lady who's going to yoga in yoga floor in Tucson, and she just wants to pick up a book and find out, you know, about yoga. She doesn't want to know what page the commentary, you know, she doesn't care, and she doesn't want to know, and if you put that in, it'll be three times thicker, and she'll never read it. So you have to, what was another rule of translation? Define your audience at the beginning. Decide who's your audience. And it also makes you a better writer. Because if you mix your audiences, you know, like you write half the book simply for the mass market, and then you write half of it all complicated with lots of footnotes for the other half in the same book, then nobody likes it. You see what I mean? So so at the beginning, you decide how detailed it is going to be. We're trying to write a definitive commentary. We're trying to translate a definitive work, okay? And then somebody like you guys, now 5 or 10 years, you should put out a little book about the size of Yoga Sutra with 100 pages in it that anyone could pick up at their hairdresser and read about emptiness for half an hour and get halfway through the book. You see? No, really. Because that also helps people. You have to be able to do both, right? Okay, you have to be able to produce kind of both kinds. So anyway, we have to go find this quotation from the commentary. When you're trying to find a quotation, what's a good rule?
Pick something odd.
Don't go searching for the word and. Okay? Because it will take all day. All right? So we can like find the weirdest combination of things here. Gone Sowar is pretty unusual. Okay? These are things you just have to learn in your life. If you don't find it, why would that be?
Misspelled?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a dozen reasons. You see, it could be our guys in Saramay typed it in wrong. It could be that the carver carved it wrong. It could be that the person quoted it from memory and quoted it wrong. It could be another translation of the same text, so it's not spelled the same. You see, because these are all translations, right? So. But you always start with that. This is not it. This is not it. Ooh, that's kind of sexy, but that's not it. Is this it? Huh? Is this it?
Is that
it's like a shippa, which is a commentary. I'm not sure it's there. Yeah, it could be, right? But he didn't, he kind of added some stuff. No, I'm sorry, he didn't. He cut it off right. It is the quotation. Okay. So it's 223b. By the way, he goes on to tell you which ones he was talking about. Hang on a minute. I want to remember. Actually, he never says the second part of this quotation. He never says that's why I mentioned beings twice. Okay? No, he never says it.
What is the auto commentary?
Is this the auto commentary? 3862. How do you find that out? You start another gopher. Where are they? Here it is. Oops. You see any gopher here? Oh, it's right here. And you say 3, 8, 16. And you look in the camera. So 3862 is the auto commentary. Yeah. Okay? So so we have a real problem here, which is what? He never said what the guy said he said. Okay. The first half he said. Okay? And our author has misquoted the second half. Yeah. Let's try. Let's check. But I very much... it's not really possible. This is the part. This is the section. And he never said the second half. He never said, that's why I mentioned Goa twice. What does he say after that? He says, in order to distinguish between these two kinds of compassion... that which focuses on things and that which focuses on nothing, right? There's this quotation, that's why I put in the line, Michael Brandon was closer, inside the moon metaphor is both impermanence and unreality. And it doesn't refer to the buckets at all. He never meant it to refer to the buckets. Okay? So the one image of the moon in the water, because the water is rippling, conveys both impermanence and unreality. And he never said anything about saying Goa twice, beings twice. So what do we do now? Well, we definitely got to go back and change my footnote. Uh, 223b. I like to put it this way. That's both changing, right? Thus reflecting both types of compassion. Okay? That's a polite way to get out of it. Okay? Now let's go back just for Chisama. It's a good question you asked. Let's just make sure there's not another quotation that he, gives in the next paragraph or something, but I don't think so. That's not it. Then we're past that section. Okay. So let's see if anyone else mentioned it. Maybe he just misquoted that it was from the auto commentary.
Someone else about just being from the auto commentary and he was working on their commentary.
It might be the auto commentary as he heard it in the debate ground. You see. That happens a lot. I don't know. I like the way he said it. It makes sense with the two kinds of going, but anyway. Okay, we got out of that footnote. Yeah.
In the last part of that sentence, are you meaning for like a double meaning of reflecting both types of compassion?
Yeah, it's just a joke. Okay. Okay. Okay, now we're down to what we didn't translate before. And this is where we skipped, and we skipped to the part that was sexy because it was the last class. So now we gotta go back and do another boring part. Okay. Okay. I don't know. And this is because if something is either the compassion which focuses upon things or the one which has no focus, then it must still be a compassion in which we focus upon beings. Okay? So that's the continuation of the argument that is the feeling different among the three kinds of compassion? No, it's all love. I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them to hurt, right? Feeling's the same. Is the object different? Yeah. So the object's not all living beings. So the object of all three is not all living beings.
It is.
Oh, so the object of all three is the same. So the difference between the three isn't based on differences of the object.
Yes, it is.
So the object's not the same of all three. So the object is the same of all three. And so since the only thing that distinguishes all three is their object, they're all the same.
That's not true. That's how they take the object.
Yeah. It's how the object's seen.
Okay, well, that he was clearing up that debate. Like, someone was going to come up and give him that debate. Okay? And you get finer, right? Then you learn to say, yeah, it's something. You have to say something like, it's how they take the object. It's the take on the object that's different. The feel is the same. The object is the same. The take on the object is different. Okay? How about that? Like, something like that. Now, how you say that in literary English, I don't know. But okay, so here we go. Okay, now we're really going to start the class. So Christy said I could go on until 10. No. Well, candy time. Okay. Okay. She likes red vine. I hate them. I like chocolate. So we have this fight at the movies. Okay. Let's. Everyone who's not chewing, please repeat. 1, 2, 3. Oh, by the way. Well, let's do the first two words. First two words. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Does it go up or down?
Does it go up or down? Right? In English, it is self, or is it self?
We don't know.
Okay. Well, who said the last thing? Who said the last thing? The other guy or us?
We did.
We did. So what's going to come next? Of course it's correct. It is too. Okay? Like we're still talking our idea. So it's going to go down or up?
Up.
So let's do it again. And then we'll keep going. 1, 2, 3. That's how. Keep going. Hey, Kahu Yima, Droa La, Mikke, Ninje, Gurve. What have we been using for Deta?
Yellow.
You don't remember? Okay, well, the glory of computers. Dare tell? That too is true. That must be the case. That is the case. What do you want to use? It is so because there's something is either element. Okay? So whether it's the kind of compassion which is focusing on a person's impermanence, or whether it's the kind of compassion which is focusing on a person's emptiness, they're both focusing on people. Okay? All right. Let's read this one together. By the way, it's verse. So normally, what's the beat? It's bum, 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 bum. If you're Milarepa or the first Panchen Lama. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, got it? So try to read it in pairs. Because Master Chandrakirti translated into Tibetan is bum, 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 bum. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Prenasal. Dro, yo, chu, nangi, dawa, da. Yo, dang, rang, chi, yi, ki, chong, ba, to, wa, yi. Dro, la, ning, je, kyu, ka, de, la, du. Che, sun, ge. That's true because the text itself states. We just had this quotation. We were just looking at this quotation. This is what the auto commentary really said right after it said, look, there's two kinds of compassion. Right? And it said, Droa, what's Yoa? Who's Miyoa? Achogya. Not moving. Unshakable. Okay? Chu means what?
Water.
That's Chu. This is Chu. Okay? Nange. Ndawa. Moon. Tongba. Empty. Tonga. To see, like Tonga. Ninje. Compassion. Delan du. I bow down to that. Okay. Animals are called tiryansh in Sanskrit. Dundro in Tibetan. Dundro. Those who go, do, bend over on all fours. Okay. So this du means I bow down to. You want to say shifting, or is that too weird? Yoa means like...
Wavering?
Wavering? It's got to imply like changing from moment to moment.
Shimmering.
Shimmering is visual, and this has to be tactile.
Shimmering.
Undulating.
Too many. It's really shifting, but shifting sounds.
Sounds sketchy.
Constantly shifting? Constantly.
We like rippling.
No, but would you say it twice? He said it twice.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if he said it, what's the word for rippling he uses?
Yoa, in the first line.
What do you think?
Unstable.
I like unstable. Is that okay? He uses it twice, that's true. This is great because give me time to eat two of these things. But it's got to somehow imply impermanence, right?
Instability.
This is
the tuniness.
What?
What?
Oh, I don't
order.
Is more visual.
Okay. I kind of like that. Yep. Okay.
That's good.
Okay, one, let's read it together. When I, by the way, those of you new, when I go like this, you have to do it with force. Ninge. So I'm going ni, okay? Like Ningbo. Okay? And Ning would be something different. So ni, okay? And how do we do prenasals? Oh, yeah. Like Dawa would mean, Da would mean a spear. But Nda means the moon. So say Da.
Da.
Nda.
Da.
Okay? So I'll go like that if you have to prenasal it. What is it? Oh, yeah. This is the sexy lady in Brazil who goes, flight number 4, 5, 5. You know, then you have to do a vocalic sound. Okay? Here. Go. Ah. Ah. I have one student who just refuses to do it. Over and over. Say Ka.
Ka.
Ka means where are they? Say Ga.
Ga.
Means I like it. Okay, big difference, right? Say Ga.
Ga.
I like it. Okay, Ka.
Ka.
Where are they? Okay, got it? And if you prenasal it, Nga.
Ga.
How many? Or some. Some of them. Gashi. Okay, so anyway, here we go. We're going to read it. 1, 2, 3.
Ninje chenpo yina he sun du che we sen chen la mikpe ninje yinpe ma kyapte.
I'm going to try to do something with you guys, which is shorter sentences. Like it'll, the translation will be a little stiff, but it'll be easier for you to keep up with the Tibetans. Anyway, we're going to do this one. Oh, I can't do it. Sorry. Okay. Let's keep reading. 1, 2, 3.
De yina sen shen sam la mi be nin je yin be ma kya re.
And that's true. What was the last thing he said?
The brain state.
Yeah. People are shifty and unreal. Okay? Okay. Why? That's true. Because I would say is a kind. Something is a kind of great compassion, or was it just compassion?
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be the compassion which is focused on suffering beings, which is one of the three kinds of compassion. Tricky. There's a trick, okay? What's the feeling, what's the take of sem chen la mikpe ningje, the compassion which is focused on beings?
Not seeing
himself. Your nature.
No, that's focused on things. That's the compassion which is focused on things. Yeah. It's how does it feel? It doesn't feel anything special. Just, oh, I'm sorry, you're suffering. Okay? Like that. It's the one that most people have. Okay? When you say compassion which focuses on beings as one of the three, but could you refer to all three as compassions which focus on beings? Of course. You see what I mean? So he's when he when you you have to learn, if you're going to learn debating, if you're going to go to Sarah, you have to learn sum tu chewe or ning sen tu gyurpe, nang sen tu gyurpa. You see, it's a big difference. If I say the compassion which focuses on living beings, which one of the three am I talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You don't know. Okay. If I say the capacity which focuses on beings as one of the three, then I'm just talking about one of the three. Because they all focus on being. Right? So he's being a debater here. He's saying, he's being careful. He's not saying, oh, just compassion which focuses on beings. He's saying, compassion which focuses on being as one of the three different kinds of compassion. So he's covering his rear. Okay. You made my captain. So, that's obvious, right? So give me his chin. He says, there's a kind of compassion which is not the one which focuses on sentient beings, living beings, which is one of the three. Give me his... So somebody says, show. Okay, give me one.
Great compassion.
I think that's okay. You can say that. You can say that. Great compassion in general. So it's not focused on living beings. So if something is great compassion, is it always the compassion which is focused on living beings?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
So it's not. That's not a good teaching.
But it's not necessarily, we don't know which of the three it is.
Right. If something is great compassion, it's not necessarily the great compassion which focuses on living beings, which is one of the three. As a division of the three. That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. Can you accept that? I think you could give a better teaching, or an easier teaching. What would that be? Huh? Pick one of the other two. Pick one of the other two. Take the compassion which is focused on things. Oh, is it the one of the three, which is the compassion which is focused on beings only?
No.
Because it's a great compassion?
No, because it's focused.
See, that's an example which defeats this kebab. I'll say it again. This guy said, every form of great compassion is the one form of great compassion among the three, which is called focused on living beings only. Right? Focused on living beings. So all you have to do is say, oh, so I guess the compassion which is focused on their emptiness is just focused on them. Why? Well, because it's a great compassion. And you said any kind of great compassion must be the one of the three which is called focused on living beings. Got it? You've got to be able to think like this if you're going to sit, walk in the debate ground. Got it? I'll say it again. Any kind of great compassion in the world must be that one of the three which is called focused on living beings. True or false?
False.
False. Okay? Because there's lots of kinds of great compassion which is not that one of the three. Because there's the other two of the three. Right? Got it? Nod. Okay, we'll go on. But you have to be able to think like this. You have to be like, boom, boom. So I'll say it again. Every kind of compassion in the world is the one of the three which is called focused just on people. You say Tamadu. I said, oh, shit. Well, give me a counterexample. Give me one kind of compassion, which is a kind of compassion, but it's not the one of the three which is called focused on people. The one that's not focused, or the one which is focused on things. You see, that would be a good counterexample. Got it? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? Let's see. Here's the clincher. Got it? Easier? Make it easier? Say this in Tibetan. Semchen la.
Semchen la.
Mikpe.
Mikpe.
Nyingje.
Nyingje.
One more time. Semchen la.
Semchen la.
Mikpe.
Mikpe.
Nyingje.
Nyingje.
The compassion which focuses on living beings. Now that's a little uncomfortable, as Geshe Tutorinja would say, Midewa, Deomidu. Because that could refer to either all kinds of compassion, because they're all focused on living beings, or it could refer to the one of the three compassions, which is called focused on living beings. So to make life easier, we say, repeat this, Semchen,
Semchen,
Thamla,
Mikpe. Ninje. Semchen. Tamla. Mikpe. Ninje. What does Sam mean? As in Sem Tam. Mind only school. So what does Tsam mean? Just only. It just focuses on the living being. That's a Mayinga. That's a Mayinga. What's a Mayinga mean? Yeah, it's a negation which implies something else, which is what? When I say, oh, this compassion just focuses on a living being, only focuses on a living being, what am I implying? There's other kinds of compassion which focus on their emptiness or their impermanence, okay? So when you clarify, when you use the word sam, semjen samla mikpe ninje, that compassion which is focused only on a living being, that makes it so easy. Oh, then he's talking about one of those three. He's not just talking about compassion in general, because all compassion is focused on the living being. Got it? Nah. Okay. Even if you don't know what's going on, just not. That's what I did for years in the month. Yeah.
It says because if something is a kind, is there something?
Yeah. If. Got it? By the way, he creates these problems and then solves them for you. Why? I mean, you'll remember 10% of it in 2 years from now. You'll be in a class and somebody will say, well, isn't all compassion focused on living beings? Say, no, no, it's time. You know? And, you know, and then people will think you know what you're talking about. Okay. All right. Go to the store with $100 if you intend to buy a $10 thing, right? Okay. We prepare for the Tantra class. It takes 2-3 months. It takes hundreds of hours. Like, we go in ready to answer any ridiculous question about the bath. And you'll only hear 5% or 10% of what we worked on. You see what I mean? And that's the way you should go into a class. You should just go in, like, with all this thumb stuff in the back of your head. Okay. Now we're back to our text. There's a certain way in which the three different kinds of compassion are established through their focus. That which focuses on qualities, which we call things. We might want to change it, by the way, but that's coming later. Realizations such as we perceive that living beings are changing, that they have no substantial existence, or the quality of being self-standing. Okay. What substantial means here is a little tricky. Okay. We got into it in the Mahamudra class, and there are many different interpretations of what substantial means. So, what's one? Ben is not substantial.
Self-standing.
Yeah, but what is it?
Existing, independent of your thoughts and goals.
Ben has no essence of his own.
Over beyond the five heaps. Over beyond the five heaps is a Ben.
You could say that. Yeah, you could say that. That's comfortable.
Students.
That's like a Mahamudra number of what?
Two,
I think.
No director.
Not substantial. No owner. It's really no owner. Okay. All right. Usually, I mean, we'll use it that way. It can mean a lot of different things. Like for Abhidharma, it might mean you can break it down in your mind, so it's not substantial. You see, it's different. Anyway. Okay, that's okay. Compassion which has no focus, established by a sense that beings lack any nature of their own. This sense depends upon a previous perception that they lack any such nature. What's he saying?
You don't understand emptiness.
Yeah, but there's this previous word. What's that mean?
That you had some previous
realization.
Yeah, you've had some previous insight into emptiness. It could be direct or it could be intellectual. And then at some later point, you're feeling love for somebody, and the sense of that emptiness comes up while you're feeling the love. Whether it can happen at the exact same moment is a big debate that we're coming to. Okay. Or does the mind have to toggle moment to moment? You see, is it possible for one state of mind to entertain two separate perceptions of something?
Okay.
Can you love someone and at the very same instant be aware of their emptiness? Or do you have to toggle between it? You see what I mean? Here we go. So that was Semchen Tsamla. We said nothing more than the be, right? Semchen Tsamla. We translated it here as nothing more. Just that. You're just looking at people. This is the kind of compassion that most people have. Okay. What's the problem with that kind of compassion?
Doesn't really do anything. Breaks down.
Yeah. A, it doesn't want to do anything, which is level 3. You see, or even level 2. But mostly level 3. It doesn't think it could change the world. It doesn't think it could stop the war in Iran, right? But what if it doesn't think about their impermanence either? I think then maybe it could get into the problem of... it might also get prejudiced, love. You see? It might... If I say love everybody in this room who's dying, you have to love everybody, right? Moment by moment, right? If I say, you know, love everybody in this room, you might choose to love some that are nice to you and not love those who are not nice to you, right? But when I say love everybody in this room who is like about to fall off a cliff called death, well, then you can love everybody, apparently. Okay. All right. Let's read this together. Ready? We still have some time. 1, 2, 3. Chela mikpe ninje tela mi tappa tang rangya tute se yu ki bowe nampa shawa sumba heya sumba sam yin ki dhenge pa main te. Right? You just like, main te. And then there's going to be an yin te chen. Right? Main te. You just this far, get you to really, main te. Okay? And then you know it's coming. Okay. You know something's coming. He's going to hit you on the head. Okay. What's chö la mikpe nying chen? Compassion which focuses on things, let's say things right now. Okay. Like what kind of thing? They're impermanent. That person's impermanent. Okay. Ningje de la, when we say, there's the say, that they have a sense, sharwa, namba sharwa, means have a sense. He's using that wording to cover his rear end. He didn't say topa, or shepa, or ngepa, or any other word for perceive. Why? He's setting you up for his later arguments that you can have a sense of their impermanence while you're perceiving their emptiness. Like a background sense of their impermanence. You see, he's setting you up. He's setting you up, yeah. Like, you can have a sort of an inkling of their impermanence while you're thinking about their emptiness. But you can't be seeing their impermanence while you're seeing their emptiness at the same moment. Impossible. So he's setting you up with this number shower stuff. Okay? And we translate it as a sense of... because we also playing along. Okay. So, what kind of senses could you have about somebody? Is it just impermanent? Is that the only quality about people that would be useful to think about while you're loving them that's not emptiness and not thinking about nothing? What other ones?
They're separate.
But
they have a nature of their own.
Right. He says, he repeats, Rangya Tupa, which means self-standing. Don't depend on anything else. It's very similar to a modern idiom called Rangotumba. Say Rangotumba.
Rangotumba.
We're trying to make you guys Rangotumba. Say Rangotumba.
Rangotumba.
Rangotumba means self-running. like the goal of the ACI courses, Sutra and Tantra, is to make you a Rangotumba Lama.
Self-powered?
You know, yeah, like you just run on your own. You don't have to call up Geshe Michael or Christy. Or I don't remember that thing about Bokjimba. You know, we're trying to make you Rangotumba. Like, self, what do you call it? It's like independent but self-running. Rangotumba means stands on its own. Doesn't have to be propped up by... It's like when they take the wheels off your bike. The trainer wheels. No trainer wheels. Rangotumba means no trainer. Okay. And that's what the Diamond Mountain is for, is to produce these self-standing viruses. Okay. Rangotumba. Zay Yuki To. Here's an interesting wording for people learning Tibetan. Tongpa means what? Empty. Towa means, it's more of a verb. It is empty. Okay? So it's not a misspelling. Tongba ni means what? Emptiness. Shunyata. And then tongpa means empty. Shunya. And towa means it is empty of. And in English we say empty of. This chocolate wrapper is empty now of chocolate. Okay, in English we say empty of. In Tibetan they say empty by. They use the instrumental. So the thing it's empty of will come before the word thoa. Okay, so here it is. Empty by zaya. Substantial. Substantial. Self, an owner or a controller. Okay, that's what substantial means here. And it can mean like 10 different things, and we're not going to get into it. Okay? So, he gave you all these senses of which you could be having a sense while you're thinking about, while you're loving somebody, or you could think, oh my gosh, they're like headed towards their death, mitapa. Oh my gosh, they're not rangatupa. They don't stand on their own, they're dependent on other causes and effects, right? They couldn't change today if they wanted to. They're in result stage, you see what I mean? Whatever they do now will help them in a week, but if they get a headache today, they just have to suffer. Right? They're like not Rangatuba. Zeyu. They can't control themselves. They don't run their life. Right? They're a victim of their life is happening to them. You see what I mean? Because they of what they did in the past. Okay? Got it? Are those the only senses you can have as you love somebody? He says, Deyang Tsimbatsamyin. Say Tsimbatsamyin. Tsimbatsamyin. Tsimbatsam means that's just a representative example. Sun means representative example. Sam means we just had it. It's just. That's all. It's just that he's just giving you a few examples, representative examples. Yin ki, what's ki mean? 99% of the time it means ah. 1% of the time it means bah. So guess what it is here? Yeah, but. Okay, but. How would you know that? Yin's a verb. Yin means is. You can't say of the is. You know? You can say Tom Ki Dep, Tom's book, right? But you can't say is. I mean, when there's a verb right in front of it, it's probably it is. But. Okay, Yin Ki. Tern Nyepa Mayinte. It's not fixed at that. Where have you seen nye, like in Chang'e?
Laws of karma.
Well, what?
Laws of karma?
No. Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, nyepa. They're definite. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. They're nyepa. But in Chang'e, what's it mean? Tungdun and nyedun. Tungdun means, he didn't say it literally, and nyedun means it's fixed. That's what he meant. It's literal. Okay, so what he says here is, it ain't fixed at that. It's not definite. Okay, so. And the dare, for those of you who care, is a really difficult expression called Dani grammar case. It's not fixed at that. Okay, de la or de ru. Okay, all right. And I'm going to break it into two sentences to make it easier. And you should always look at a sentence and see if there's a way you could break it up to make it easier. Okay. Good question. He used the word sungba right here. How does that differ from serwa?
Serwa is like plain.
Say again?
Serwa?
Yes, serwa.
Claim.
Yeah, serwa often means say in the sense of claim, which implies that what's being said is false, okay, or shaky. When you say state, it implies a little stronger. When you say bespoke, it's like the Buddha said it. And now, normally when these sung, past tense sungs, they're a little bit hedging towards scriptural, authoritative scripture. And he doesn't specify who. It's Master Chandrakirti, it's every reference we've ever had in this book where they've been talking about even Jetsu Kapa, you see? Mm-hmm. So they is the right way to translate it. Mm-hmm. Leave it ambiguous, because we don't know who he's talking about. So far he's been quoting Jetsu Kapa and Master Chandrakirti and some other texts. Master Kamala Sima. So leave it ambiguous when it should be left ambiguous. They used to say in my company, we had a big factory, we did 30,000 pieces of jewelry every day. It's amazing how many things can break on a little piece of a ring. But they'd say, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. Meaning, if it's... Don't try to do the reader a favor and tell them who they is, if the author didn't tell them who they were. Okay, all right.
Is it fair to assume that these days are all middle-way philosophers, though?
You could say that. I think you could say that, especially so far. Okay. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Tak chi rang wang chen hi dou wei nam ba sha wei shi la mi bei yin jie yang ye wei. We're in trouble, Alistair, I think. But maybe we'll just skip it. Rawang Chen, how do you want to translate that? It means in control. All
right.
It means we're not Rawang Chen, you know, things just happening, right? At a result level.
You don't like in control?
Is in control okay?
In control of class.
Okay, all right. I think that's the owner one in the Mahamudra. So I think substantial might be the next. What's the next Mahamudra one?
Why
don't
you?
Huh?
Why
don't
you? I don't remember. Anyway.
What's
called
autonomous? There's no accident.
There are no. We love autonomous.
To see.
We like it.
I don't know.
I don't know what autonomous is.
It's too literary for me. This is a British thing. Okay. We spent too long in this. Okay.
We're American. We talk like that.
Great big words.
Here he's going to explain, this is probably one of the sexiest parts of this whole section. He's going to explain why they call it, why they give the three compassions their names. Okay? Why is it called the compassion that looks at things? Why is it called the compassion that doesn't look at anything? Why is it called the compassion that just looks at people? Okay? Why are they given their names? So here's the scriptural. We can touch on the first one. We got 6 minutes left. Let's read it together, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Ninche tambo la she la mikpe ninche she shepe gyutse yute.
Let's cut it there. Whoa. Gyatch. Say gyatch. 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 Gyatch means shut it. Shig means do it. And you know, when Rinpoche was first learning English, people would sneeze and we'd all say Gesundheit or God bless, and he'd say, what's that mean, you know? And we'd say, you know, it means like they used to believe your spirit came out when you sneezed or something, and you know. So anyway, he said, okay. And then the next time somebody sneezed in a restaurant with him, he said, oh, gatch! You know, and I'm like... And the guy says, what's that mean? He says, oh, it's Tibetan. It's just like, God bless. Okay. So, what... Oh, we are 10 seconds. You can translate this. Ningje means what? Compassion. Dumbo? First one. La. To that. Let's skip to the end. Yutsen. A reason. There's a reason. Yut. There is a reason why we chepa. Yeah. Or we, we explain. Or use the word ningje. Compassion, chula mikpa, which focuses on things. Okay, so you got all the parts here. I'll put it together for you. Okay. So tell us. I'm so curious. One, two, three.
Te kyu la denbe kan sa te la sen chen ke chik ki ken ji che pa to.
Check this out. Open vowel at the end, no suffix letter. Prefix letter coming. So if you're in a debate in the monastery, you'll hear it as kinjik. Kinjik. And you'll say, I don't know, I never saw that. You know, okay? You'll hear it as kinjik. This is really, really nice. Mitape tseni shagi mebe ete. Nobody can give me the definition of mitapa, which is wrongly translated as impermanent. I prefer constantly changing or something like that. Anyway, mitapa tseni shagi mebe ete. You don't just say it. Mitapa tseni shagi mebe ete. Nobody can give me the definition of changing things. Tamadu. Oh, so somebody could give the definition of changing. Mitapa tseni shagi yata. Duh. Yes, yeah. So give it to me. Give it to me. Mitapa yimete. Just say, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, kechigma yimete. You can just say, kechigma.
Yimete.
Get this thing out.
Kichima.
Kichima.
You made it.
You made it.
No, you gotta snap your hand. And you're like, stick it in the guy's face. Kichima, you made it. Like that. You don't go. Kichima, you made it. And then, but the long definition. Teni Deba Shaki, you made it. Nobody give me the longer definition. Good. By the way, you never say duh to a cheer, right? You just repeat the verb. You just repeat the verb, right? You only say duh to what? Duh. And not tail, right? Yeah. Duh. Right. But I said, imbeichin. Nobody could show me the long definition of mitaka. And you said, yeah. That's a second. Maybe it's here. Then what was the verb? Maybe it's here. What was the verb? Me. So you just say me. Me. Right. Okay, right. There is no long definition. Me. Then I say, so you're telling me that a thing which changes from moment to moment, which comes into existence and passes out of existence moment to moment, is not the longer definition of mitaka. And you say, chichi. Okay, but anyway, that's it. Say, kechik.
Kechik.
Kechiki.
Kechiki.
Kenjik.
Kenjik.
Chepechu.
Chepechu.
Mitakpe.
Mitakpe.
Sini.
Sini.
Kiepa.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so the long definition is things which are passing in and out of existence moment by moment. They're being ke, born, and ji, destroyed, instant by instant. Like, that's a much more beautiful definition. So here it is here. This person who has this kind of compassion in their heart has previously perceived that living beings are passing... How do you want to say that? In and... out of existence.
Great.
Moment by moment. Is that okay? Yeah. It's not technically...
into and out.
You could get in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it. Okay?
It's so atomic, but it works.
Well, you can debate that. So anyway, we'll stop there. And he's going to have a beautiful progression. He says people who... perceive things. We call it the compassion which perceives things, because of a whole progression that you go through. It's not just that you see things are falling apart instant by instant. It's not just that. It's that you perceive that, and because you got to that level, you pop up to another level, and because you got to that level, right there, you pop up to another level. See the de la tene at the beginning? De la tene, de la tene, de la tene. Because of this, you move up to that. Because of this, you move up to that. Because of this, you move up to that. And then, boom, you see their dependent origination. You see what I mean? So you got to come back for the next class. Okay. All right.
Just
cool. See emptiness. Lots of people did retreats during the break. That's really good.